cold, far away world. A battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
The Scepter here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to another TFYLP. This is going to be episode 150. 150. And tonight we're going to talk about hoarding. And when enough is enough, when you just had so much that you're up to your eyeballs in Transformers, where you've got, you know, you've got everything, you've got it all, and it's just when enough is enough. So tonight I have with me Sideburn 2.
What's up?
Jim Black.
Hi.
And Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
So, one of the things we were talking about before we got into our big, our main topic was a lot of us were talking about the Masterpiece and how a lot of the people were going towards Masterpiece as their main collecting goal. And the one thing that struck a lot of people was exhaust and how we were going to get a mass release, we weren't going to get one, back and forth, and subsequently... a lot of them were, you know, quote unquote, sneaked in or snuck in and whatever. But we got to this topic of what's a good price for it. And I was able to procure mine at what I thought was a reasonable price. I paid basically $90 a piece for them. And I thought that was fair. A couple of the guys, you know, they said that the actual price was, how much did you say it was at retail when it first came out?
With the with the yen rate with Hobby Link Japan, it was no more than $53 at the time when I had the pre-order up.
Right, and then you had shipping, so you figured a good price was around $65 to $70.
Right, yeah, because all three of my Autobot brothers, Blue Streak, Prowl, and Smokescreen, came in, all of them came under $65 shipped.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get that good of a deal, but I was able to get mine at about $90. And what got me worried was, is I'm looking on eBay, and they're going for like, what, $130, $140, $150. And, you know, one of the things we like to do is to let our listeners know when they're being taken advantage of. And I think it's a... it's a hype that it's just that it's not gonna stay. The price is gonna come down. I think that I even think that me paying $90 now, knowing what the original rate was, I think I even paid too much. So, Sideburn 2, you said you went to a show this just recently and you saw some. Tell us about your experience. What you saw?
Yeah, so. I went to MegaCon here in Orlando last weekend, and there was a seller who had a bunch of Masterpiece, a bunch of import stuff, and he had a bunch of Masterpiece. Like the first day I was there, I saw, you know, he had Wheeljack, he had Bumblebee, he had Silver Streak, he had the Silver Blue Streak, but and he had Exhausts, and he had a ton of them. And by the end of the convention, he still had a ton of exhaust, and as far as I could tell, the Masterpiece stuff was moving because, you know, it was not the same ones there. He was putting more out, but I saw, you know, even behind his desk there was a ton of them, and he was selling them at $90, and just the sheer amount that he had leads me to believe that it's not as this whole Marlboro debacle is what has driven the price up, because people think it's something rare, but it's I saw a ton of them. They were not hard to find.
Now, did you notice them just flying off the shelf, or did they kind of just sit there?
I noticed a lot of the Masterpiece stuff selling, so I assume that it was selling as well. I don't think that it was just sitting there. Because he had a lot of Silver Streaks, too. By the end of the convention, he still had Silver Streak, and he still had Exhaust sitting out. And I expect those, because those two are the most recent ones, right?
Yes.
So I expect those two to be the more, you know, one with the most stock, because they're the most recent. But there was no fewer Exhausts than there were Silver Streaks. And this guy was selling toys like hotcakes at the convention.
Right. So, I guess what we want to make sure is that people aren't paying, you know, way too much for these items just because of the hype and the fact that, and, well, the only thing I'm worried about is that, I mean, in the past, and I'm sure you guys can come up with some examples, but we've had stuff that had a short run, totally went up in price, and stayed that way. But I don't think this is going to be that case. I really don't. I think that those that want to get it are going to be able to get it, even though the main big guys, as you want to call it, aren't able to carry them openly. You're still going to be able to get it. You're going to get your plastic crack fix. It's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think they suddenly cut down the production run just because suddenly they couldn't sell them at U.S. retailers. They're just now they're going to. You got to go a little bit of a roundabout way to find it, but I don't think it's as hard to find as it's been made out to be. I think it's been artificially inflated by the people who are able to get a hold of them because the big retailers can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That reminds me a little bit of what happened with this guy. You know, everyone was saying that he was going to be short packed and this, that, and the other. And, you know, it was the Combiner Wars Blackjack.
Well, I mean, the same thing is happening with Combiner Wars Megatron right now.
Yeah.
I saw him no less than $75 when I was at the convention.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, now I was out today at one of my storage buildings near my little house, and I stopped in every store on the way between here and there to find new things. Didn't find anything, but I did see at least, I saw four G1 Megatrons at four different locations at regular retail. Mm-hmm. I saw one Blackjack. Granted, I didn't see very many of that Scout size class at all. Mm-hmm. So I saw Wave 2 showing up of the Combiner Wars at many places. So the stuff is trickling out as far as the American stuff. But I honestly, I believe y'all are right as far as Exhaust. Now, if this was like the last, like say, with Wind Charger, revealed Shield Wind Charger, if this was something closer to that, I'd be a bit more worried if it was a tail end piece of the line.
Yeah.
Because I had to get mine from a seller in Greece. When that was going on, but I don't think we're facing that with Exhaust.
Yeah, I only ever saw the that Wind Charger, the Reveal the Shield one, one time, and that was I was actually at the first SlaggerCon. I never saw it in stores.
Well, that was what was that called? Five and up.
Five Below.
Five Below. That's it. Yeah. I know one guy that had stack. I mean. He told me, I mean, I found them, and they were dirt cheap. I'm going to buy them. I'm like, you know, rock on, whatever. And, I mean, so you look at them now, what is it, a $15 toy?
Yeah. But it's still
or
better.
It should be.
Yeah. But it's still a better toy than the Wind Charger we got from the tailgate mold.
Right. But my point being is all these people that paid, $30-$40 or whatever. And here's the difference, okay? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Yes, I'm a dealer. It's one of the things I do, okay? But one of the things I don't do is I don't sell, you know, new products. I don't sell new products. I sell the stuff that's, you know, it is hard to get. It is, and that's the difference. So, just as I've said all the time, you know, be smart, save your money, and use your head. You'll be fine. You know, don't jump into the hype and buy something for an overinflated price. And I, you know, of course I said that, but then I paid $90, but I thought that was a fair price. And now the more I'm hearing about it, it may not have been. I mean, the actual price of this is probably going to be closer to the $65-$70. If the hype stays up, $90 might be a fair price. But I guarantee $130 or whatever it is on eBay, that's inflated. That's inflated.
Yeah. Very much so.
So, but once again, none of us here have a crystal ball that I know of. You know, if so, you need to give me some stock tips because I really need it.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, waffles. Exactly. Invest in waffles.
Yeah. I remember that. Oh, all right. Don, you got anything for the news?
Yes.
What is new in the news today?
All righty. Well, this is a smattering of things from across the interwebs, not a cohesive list because, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that we haven't had a chance to cover in the past 2 weeks. These are some more interesting things. First up from T-Formers, potential Combiner Wave figures. Again, this is, you know, based on listings seen in various computer terminals, things such as that. But it looks like we're looking at the next wave will be Combaticons. And it's, you know, it's being reported that we've got some deluxe Combaticons, Brawl, Swindle, Blastoff, and Vortex. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we can sort of guess the molds, of course. The Vortex will be Blades. Blastoff could be
There's actually been an image that's been released recently of a different design helicopter.
Oh, really?
Okay. Do you have the link to it? Right now I'm just showing what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get rid of this.
And it might be concept art for the Blades molds. But
I was thinking that's what that was. I know what you're talking
about. There's some speculation that it might be Vortex.
Well, I can't see them changing, you know, because Blades, they just put a new head on the Alpha Bravo body. I can't see them making that Alpha Bravo body and not using it for all their helicopters, at least in the first couple of waves that need one.
I would hope. Yeah, I see that logic, but I don't know. I'm holding on to hope because Vortex, I like his, you know, the one thing I don't like about Alpha Bravo for him being Vortex is that his blades don't sit on his back, you know, splayed open. And, you know, when you combine him into Ruination, Bruticus, he won't have the blade arm.
I'm sorry. I had to unmute the mic to say, oh, my God. Oh, Ruination. Jesus Christ.
We already did the red episode.
All the same mold. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like the way his blades sit in combined mode.
But also, I'm sure that right now with the advent of Combiner Wars, all the major and minor third-party companies are looking at all of these upcoming designs and thinking, where can we fill in the niches that they're not doing with accessory parts? Because we've already seen the hands and feet sets for Superion and Minasaur, so I've got a feeling there'll be some kind of canopy, some kind of add-on part that you can just clip around the Alpha Bravo mold to give them a more accurate helicopter blade at some point. So I'm really not worried about that.
I've got the I'm pretty sure I'm using screen share, right?
Yeah, there it is. Before,
but
yeah.
I've got the images of the helicopter there. The one that's said to
and
be.
And so, there's a good possibility that it's the Vortex mold, or not the Vortex mold, but the Blades mold. But
did I say Blastoff? I said Blastoff. I fail.
Well, you know, looking at the Aerobots, you know, it's possible Alpha Bravo could be retooled into a shuttle as well. You know, it depends on how
I could see that.
So, you know, there's that as well. So, and again, it would be, you know, a small shuttle would be more in scale with the rest of, you know, the Covaticons.
Yeah.
So, but there's that. So, so always happy to see Combaticons.
My favorite.
Yeah, my favorite American team.
I mean, likely it's going to be. I don't know. I would say likely it's going to be that.
Hotspot.
Vortex is Blades. Hot. Yeah, Hotspot is Onslaught. Yeah, Onslaught. And
Swindle will be from the off-road mold.
Yeah, and probably I would imagine Rook is probably going to be turned into Brawn, even though he's not a tank.
Yeah, because now I can use that new Warpath mold for it.
And maybe Blastoff will get his own figure.
I'm guessing it'll be a heavy remold of Alpha Bravo, because if they're willing to turn Silver Bolt into Cyclonus, there's no telling what they'll do for future uses too.
Or they're going to pull something that's going to piss everybody off. They're going to give him a new member, and they're going to make like Blastoff turn into his chest. And it's not going to make any sense, because Blastoff was already smaller than a shuttle should be, and then he's going to be really small.
And to put things in scale, he'd be able to hide behind his own chest. So I could see that happening, though, because Air Raid and Skydive use a lot of the same parts, even though they're different molds. The legs, the like middle portion of the arm, and the weapons are identical molds.
Yeah, because it looks like they're really thinking ahead on these Combiner War figures on what they can reuse and what they need to make new molds of. Because basically, we're looking at a whole new Seeker mold, folks. Because we're going to be seeing these molds a lot over the next couple of years, so just get ready for it. Next bit of news coming up here. Mastermind Creations, as everybody knows, is one of the big names in the third-party world. They have announced their next figure. And for those of you that have the Terminus Hexatron figure, I think everyone has talked about how great that figure is. They have finally showed off the version I've been wanting since it opened up, being available as an option. The new mold is going to be Grandus Hexatron, which is their version of Great Shot from Transformers Victory.
Not to be confused with the other Grandus.
Yeah, because this guy can actually see his toes.
Yes.
So this is Great Shot. For all intents and purposes, this is a Great Shot. And I am so looking forward to this toy, because there is no way I am paying the current prices for a G1 Great Shot.
I am. I just can't find one.
Well, we're all not made of money like you.
In any case, here it is right here.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get a nice blown-up shot. And of course, I didn't. But anyway, there he is. Looks like they remolded, like they did with Grace Shot, the shoulder pieces,
mm-hmm. and
the chest piece, and the face, right?
Yeah, the face, and also the animal mode for him is a rhino, so he has a new rhinoceros head.
Did they change the head on that? Let me see here. Animal. Yes, they did.
Yeah, and also, if you look at the jet mode, which is the next picture, look at the way the front looks.
With splits?
Yeah.
Which now, really with that, do you think that's a mold change or just a transformation difference?
I think it's a mold change, because the earlier models of the Great Shot, the six-shot version, Terminus Hexatron, had the same solid front. Mm-hmm. Unless there's panels that are inside the figure that they choose to not fold into place to give it the difference. I don't have the mold. I like Six Shot, but I have a G1 Six Shot, so I didn't bother picking up this earlier version, because this is the one I wanted.
Right.
So
I don't know. I'm looking at it, and I could see it go both ways. I could see it being a transformation difference, and I could see it being a mold difference. So I don't know. I don't have the other one.
Yeah. But it definitely is visually very different than the other ones, obviously.
Right.
And I just love the way the colors balance out. And, you know, this is the one I've been waiting for.
Well, and for me, that I do not have a great shot. I've been looking for one. This is definitely more appealing to me than the other. So, yeah, this is pretty good stuff.
Yeah. The next bit of news we've got. Oh, by the way, there's no pre-orders up for this that I've seen so far. It was just announced this week. So as soon as we find out anything about it, we'll let y'all know. The next thing is the next guest announced for BotCon is going to be John Machida, who everyone knows is the voice of Blur and that Micro Machines guy. Because there's a ton of people that know him as the Micro Machines guy. So he will be at BotCon and outside of Chicago in June.
Yep. I will definitely have something. I'm thinking about my G1 Blur in the box. I'm going to get him to autograph that.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Now, if I have a, if I had a Micro Machines carded figure, I mean, I would definitely do that just because to be in the minority on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I definitely remember him as a kid when he would do the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I was just in awe at how fast he could talk. It was amazing. Yep.
And he's been to BotCon before, and he's always had great stories. I'm sorry?
2000, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Last time.
And what's cool is we asked him to tell some stories, and he told some great ones involving Chris Latta.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good thing about all the G1 actors being able to come back, because they can talk about these great stories behind the scenes that we don't really have a chance to hear anymore.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me pull something up here while you're going on to the next news story.
Okay. Why do I need coffee?
Keep yawning. You keep yawning, and I'm like, sorry. Man, I feel tired, but you're making me worse.
I'm sorry. I had a long day.
By the way, for those who don't know, we have this little thing called chat where we can talk to each other that you guys can't hear about. It's a little secret squirrel stuff. And I'm like, drink some coffee. You're making me tired.
I'm sorry.
It's yawning.
It was a long
day. It's addicting.
It's a long day. Okay. The next bit of news while Megamus is researching his porn or whatever it might be.
You just wait and see.
I hope not. We can see the reflections of your screens in the back glass.
That's all right. If you see the porn, that's okay.
All right.
That's up to the R rating.
That's the new Human Centipede, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're into weird stuff.
Okay. It was all for science.
All righty. For science. The fan-built combiner name and gender has been revealed. Now, I thought this was being reserved for San Diego, but apparently USA Today has, which is odd, but USA Today has been a ally with Hasbro and reporting news. Mm-hmm. The new combiner is going to be a 6-robot female combiner called Victoron. So the comic is coming out in July with Transformers Combiner Hunters, and we discussed this on RFC, and it's out there for a few other places that have more information than we have right here. So, but we now know it's going to be the first all female combiner, and we know the name. So, what do y'all think about that?
Well, I've noticed kind of a crap storm in some of the forums as far as the name, because they're like, you know, Victorion. It sounds like Victoria, and I can't help but disagree. I'm like, of course it sounds like it because it shares the root word, but at the same time, it also would share the name, you know, Victor or Victory, or Victorious. You know, something like that. Now, not too dissimilar from Superior being, you know, transformed into Superion, which is the ION suffix. So I can kind of see how it works, and it relates similarly in that aspect.
Do we have a
I haven't read it. Do we have a list of the characters?
No,
I don't believe they revealed that part just yet. A lot of them in the groups tend to be under the impression that they're probably going to use ones like Firestar and Moonracer and other heritage female. Well,
I'll be honest with you. If they're going to do that, they're going to use G1-ish names and rehash them. I'm cool with that. The Victory or Victoria, whatever. I'm fine with that. I mean, let's face it. You know, we got Bruticus, Defensor, Abominus. I mean, let's face it. All the cool names are already taken. I mean, G1 already did it. So you just kind of rehashing a little bit. Right. And I'm okay with that. But as long as the core, and as long as they stick to that, like, you know, Moonracer sticks to her G1, you know, persona, I'm fine with it. Now, if they just use a name to use a name, I'm not cool with that. And I've seen that happen, and I'm sure you guys have too, where they've taken a name and they just used it, but that character is totally not what you were expecting. So well, as long as they stick to the G1 heritage, I think it's fine.
Actually, this came up a while back, and I can't remember the website that I saw it on, but I'm doing this from memory, so if I err, I do apologize in advance. Hasbro has said the days of them sticking names that don't match on characters just to save a name are pretty much over because they're learning that the names have too much audience identification to be used on the wrong figure.
Absolutely. The names have meaning. So what you're telling me is that they've actually learned something.
Well, also, but for those people that are mad about the name, here was the three name choices, if you don't remember. Victoron, or Victorion, however you want to pronounce it, Slammoth, and Quakebreak.
What was the third one?
Quakebreak.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah. I voted for Slammoth because I was thinking of, like...
I don't know. That sounds too much like a dance move.
I can see Slammoth being my Autobot version of Predaking.
Yeah.
My Autobot. I could also see the second name being the Autobot, you know.
Yeah. Or
Predaking.
Yeah. You know, if they do Abominus, that would be the Autobot version of Abominus or something. So
I just wanted
I still feel. And one, you know, this is of course just my opinion. I don't have a problem with that as long as if they're going to use G1 names, they stick to the heritage. And if they've learned that, yes, we as fans actually do get pissed off when you screw with the canon. Yeah, hey, they've learned something. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm going to say about this that the only reason I'll buy it is if it is like Elita One and Flamestart and Moonracer and all them.
I'm not going to collect them otherwise.
But based upon what you just said, if they were named as such, but they were portrayed differently, would that not upset you?
I wouldn't buy them for that. Yeah, I wouldn't buy them if they were. Like, if Elita One's not Elita One, I'm not going to buy
it. Right, exactly. Yeah. If you're going to use the names, keep them to what they're supposed to be. Yeah.
If these are all new characters, I don't care.
Is not Wingblade going to be in there? Because I'm looking, and one of them kind of looks like it. But
well, those that's
in
just
any case,
a,
that's I mean, just isn't a that a newer of, character?
Yeah, Wingblade. That's just a picture of Wingblade and Blur. And
well,
Promia that they have there.
Well, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to use newer characters. Well, if you are, we've already started with Wingblade. And I'm not sure, I don't keep up with that, but I'm sure that Wingblade has already been established as being this type of persona. Stick with it. You don't have to reinvent. You know, just like if one of them was Optimus Prime or Megatron, I'm not trying to be. You know, the whole male, female, whatever. You would expect them to be a certain way. You know, you don't expect Optimus Prime all of a sudden in the next episode to be you know, deceitful, cheating, whatever. That's not him. That should be throughout the whole universe, all the way down to Bumblebee, Wheelie, whatever. They have to have a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and see, I don't care if they do throw in like maybe make three of the six, you know, the G1, you know, female transport that haven't gotten toys, and then make three new ones. I'd probably buy all of them since they are combiner. But,
absolutely. Yeah. But you haven't gone against the formula I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well plus yeah,
exactly.
Plus the fact, as far as the fiction goes, if Alita 1 has a new team of female Autobot resistance fighters, giving them the ability to combine really changes the entire power structure on Cybertron if they're using the G1 cannon. So that adds a whole new thing into the play value and into the fictional value, too.
If they don't screw it up.
I just had a thought.
And they screwed Windblade up, just to say. I mean, that figure is a piece of garbage.
You're right. All right, Jim, go ahead.
I just had a thought, considering that their pattern of reusing molds, pretty regularly in Combiner Wars, and even if it's just pieces and parts like legs. We know we've got Hotspot and possibly an Onslaught coming down the pipeline, probably with that mold. What I think would be neat to see, just kind of out of left field, Stryka. Does anybody remember Stryka from Beast Machines? Yeah. Said to have been
I remember Stryka from Beast Machines.
A Cybertronian general from years past, but it was a Viacon Allegiance. It wasn't necessarily Decepticon or Predacon or any of that. So that might be an interesting thing to throw in there.
Yeah, but that also means remembering Beast Machines exists.
Well, that's also
it's not so bad as an adult. It was terrible as a child.
Here's how I've always looked at it, and it's actually served me quite well. Hasbro, Takara, they're out to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do as much research as possible to figure out what A means, B means, and C means. They probably won't go too much further. You're asking a lot by diving into something like that. It's very simple for them to go to, G1's okay. You know, a lot of people like that. What were some female names? They list the names. They look them up. You're talking about something that's, I'll use the word obscure. It's more obscure. So I wouldn't bet on it.
How many female Autobots don't have figures? I mean, because we already just recently got Chromia and RC. Yeah.
Chromia, RC.
So you got Elita 1, Moonracer.
Moonracer.
Well, I think G1 Nautica is one you can throw in there. So that's three,
Nightbird?
Fembots that don't have figures.
But Nightbird was never really an Autobot.
Saying as far as the fiction goes, if they make her sentient and she inhabits to stay a new body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the only reason you would ever see that is if they were told as researchers, look up G1, pick up all the female names, and they went, Nightbird. Well, I could see them doing that only because of the research, not because it makes sense. Or because, hey, that would be better than doing this.
Yeah. Well, that's
my opinion on that.
The only thing I will say is that this can go either one of two ways, like you said, Megamus. But if they do the research properly, it could really pan out.
Sure.
If they do the research by them putting them doing Computron Strafe on Dinobot Strafe packaging, then we got a problem.
Well, I'm going to say is look at the past, and you can figure out what the future holds.
Yeah.
The seeds of the future
are buried in the past.
There you go.
But a couple things.
Stryka confirms.
A couple things that led me to the Stryka idea is, one, that Beast Machines is kind of an offshoot from Generation 1, part of that same overall timeline before Armada and Red. Not to mention, they've recently used Strike in the BotCon set from, I think, last year or the year before in the Machine Wars.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now, anything to do with BotCon and the canon there has nothing to do with mainstream.
Well, no, and this is going to all be partly driven by IDW's fiction.
Yeah, exactly. So, they're going to look at what they got right now, and they do have IDW.
But,
they don't have BotCon. All that stuff is done by their staff only.
In the last year, they did throw Tankor into the IDW comics.
That's true.
Even if it was just a cameo.
That's true.
And he got a figure that's sitting there.
We don't talk about
Rat Trap actually sits more, and that saddens me because Rat Trap is awesome.
Rat Trap is awesome.
Oh, the last bit of news, moving on, just the last bit of news. MP26 or 7, I mean, maybe
26, I believe.
26. Road Rage. Now, this is not really a major shock. In that because you get tracks, you get a Road Rage, because there's not that many known repaints of tracks.
Unless and another female.
Yeah, and well, Road Rage has always been a female, at least since the E-Hobby reissue several years ago, but she does have a new face, and it looks like some parts have been slightly remolded to be a little more slender.
Like her crotch plate.
I wasn't going to say that. I was just saying in general.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I think this will be very nice to get a similar yet different figure. I love Trax. Trax and Cosmos are two of my favorite characters, and they're both voiced by Mike McConaughey, who I love as a voice actor. And seeing this revamp of Trax is Road Rage, I'm all over this. As soon as pre-orders goes up, I'll be throwing one in.
Yeah, I like it, but I'm probably just I will probably get Trax. Trax is one of my favorites. I love, I love that vehicle mode more than anything. So I will definitely, I'll probably definitely get Trax. Road Rage, I like it. Having new, hey, there's another Fembot that Hasbro might put in the combiner is Road Rage.
Now, just in case people aren't sure who many years ago, when E-Hobby was doing reissues and other things alongside the Transformer Encore editions, they released Road Rage from the G1 tracks. And I'm trying to get the light to not reflect off that as much. And that's the Road Rage, which is basically... Now, Megalus, this was about the Diaclone colors, wasn't it?
Megalus, I just step away for a second.
Step away. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is the Road Rage figure in the E-Hobby style packaging. I'll try to get a little bit closer so everybody can see it. That, and also for just a bit of extra trivia, they also if you're wondering where Generations Crosscut came from as an idea, Skids.
Yep.
G1 Skids was in Japan at one point as a silver Le Mans with the scooter at Gall Crosscut. And so these two came out about the same time, so that's why I've got them both. So that's where Crosscut came from in Generations, and that's where Road Rage came from, which was basically Megalus. This was the Diaclone version, basically, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Give me 1 minute and I'll grab it.
Okay. So there's that. So I'm definitely looking forward to this Road Rage figure. Hopefully there'll be no marking issues that, prevent it from being sold in the U.S. I'm looking at you, Exhaust.
Unless they start tampographing, legalize it all over her or something.
You know, I was kind of hoping, you know, this is just me personally, you know, shooting for the moon wishes. I hope someone does a third-party target master for Trax that looks like Raul. Oh.
That would be nice.
All right. Here is the one I was referring to here. There he is. And basically, it has the flames with the Autobot logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with this little driver. The launchers are blue. The missiles are blue. And I do not have the gun, but the gun is actually different also. So I'm missing the gun for mine. But, yeah, it's a little different. And
different,
I think
different mold or different color?
It's different mold. The E-Hobby one uses a straight Trax mold gun. So that one is going to look just like a G1. The one that goes for this one is a little different. And for the life of me, I can't remember. I just know it's different.
The picture on the bio card has the same gun as Trax. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the sticker on that one, on the E-Hobby? Does it have the flames with the Autobot logo?
No. I've actually opened this up to take – I can take it out and show everybody a little bit better because, you know, I know resale value. No. Or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Here is the sheet, the label sheet with everything still on there with the flames and everything.
Yes, that's the one that this one okay. is.
Yeah. And then maybe here's a clearer picture outside of the box. Well, not outside of the box, but.
Yeah. Yes.
So you can see that she come pretty much bare, you know, completely bare of anything on the actual vehicle mode, except for. No, actually, even the arm stickers aren't even on there. So there's that. So definitely looking forward to getting that Road Rage figure when she comes out.
Absolutely.
And that's really it for news. You know, I'm sure there's a lot out there we didn't cover. Be sure to check your favorite news site for anything. And if there's something that you want us to discuss in the next show, something we didn't talk about that you want to hear our thoughts on, let us know through Facebook, Twitter, Smoke Signal, Carrier Pigeon.
We'll have Jim stand on the roof, and he will wait for them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'll bring my fiddle.
That too.
It's tradition.
All right. Scare away the pigeons.
That's okay. He can come to my house. I hate birds. Anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about was the week before last, and I know this isn't Transformers news, but I attended JoeCon.
Oh.
And, you know, Don was talking about how there were, you know, voice actors were reminiscent of other voice actors. And I had the absolute pleasure of talking to Brian Cummings. And for those who don't know, he's done a lot of voice acting, one of which was Dr. Mindbender in the original 1980s G.I. Joe cartoon. Wonderful, wonderful guy to talk to.
So Evil, he didn't need a shirt.
Huh?
So Evil, he didn't need to wear a shirt. He was that evil.
Oh. That's true. Although at the convention, he did wear a shirt.
Sure.
Yes. But the funny part was, is excuse me, that was my stomach. Anyway, the funny part was, is he was talking, and we said to him, I was just talking to him, and I said, hey, you know, at BotCon, you know what that is? He goes, yeah, I know what that is. I said, they're getting Frank Welker, which is a really big thing. And he actually looked at me and he went, Frank's going to do a convention? I said, yeah, they got him. He's going to be there. And he was telling me stories about Frank. And what you said is true. A lot of the voice actors, I guess it's somewhat of a close-knit group. where they'll do so many different things that, you know, they're bound to run into each other.
Yeah,
and he was telling me about him.
Especially like Sunbow, they use the same core actors across a lot of their shows.
Yeah. Yep. So he was telling me, and he was just telling me different things, and oh my God, I can't believe they got him, and I'm just gonna go out on a limb. I mean, I do both. I like my Joes, and I like my Transformers. So going to JoeCon is fun for me. And you do get to see a lot of different things, and there is some differences in how JoeCon is run as opposed to BotCon. And you do notice the things, and but the neat thing is seeing people that go, you know, that are in both canons, you know. And Brian was telling me about it, and after talking to him, I was really, really stoked to actually finally meet Frank Welker. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I can't wait. I just literally can't wait. And after talking to Brian, I can't wait anymore. I mean, just the stories that I heard and how he is and how rare of an opportunity this is just, and I don't think everyone really understands how rare of an opportunity this is. And I'm going to go back to, I myself, believe it or not, oh my God, I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. Yep. And I always thought, man, I'll get William Shatner's autograph. I'll get Leonard Nimoy's autograph. I'll get DeForest Kelly's autograph. I'll get James Dugan's autograph. And I'm down to one. I'm down to one because I procrastinated and I didn't do it.
Well, now, one thing you might want to know, this is for listeners as well, Megalus. They have announced the price of the Frank Welker package. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, $200.
$200. Okay, so that is in addition to your Primus package, your golden ticket package.
Right. Well, but here's the thing.
Correct.
I was going to go over that.
Okay.
You do know that that's not in addition to your golden ticket. You don't have to have a golden ticket.
Right.
Do the Frank Welker experience. It's separate. So
right.
You can do your regular admission, get your box set, 400 and some odd change.
Yeah, the Primus package. Yeah, that's what I'm
right. Do your Primus package, $200. Now, what $200 is going to get you is you'll be able to meet him, get an autograph on whatever item you want. That's one. Then you're going to get a professionally photographed picture of you with Frank Welker that, this is the only part I'm unclear on. I'm pretty sure he will autograph that as well, or there'll be another opportunity where you can get that autograph. So it's not just, and that was the biggest problem, is a lot of people weren't sure what they meant about the photograph. What does that mean, that you get a nice little glossy of him, his headshots? No. They actually take a picture by a professional photographer of you with him. So that's, I mean, and to me, that's a keepsake. Not to mention, I plan on taking my G1 boxed Megatron. I'm going to get that sucker autographed. I'm going to put it right next to my G1 Optimus Prime, which I got autographed by Peter Cullen day one. That's a gimmick. And you stop and think about it, and, you know, I'm not saying anything against Frank Welker, but, you know, he's not a young sprout. I mean, and I keep looking back at Leonard Nimoy and how I kept saying I'm going to get his autograph, and I didn't. Yeah. This is a golden opportunity. I know a lot of people are balking at $200, but for what you get, that's yeah. – Wait a minute. Now, remember me talking about when I went and got Jeremy Bullock's autograph? I went to one of the conventions down here in Lexington and met Jeremy Bullock and got an autograph. That's one autograph. It was $40, $30 or $40. All right, that was just for an autograph. All right, that wasn't my picture taken with him. That wasn't talking to – I mean, all that stuff. $200 is not – it's not that much.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, and I am going to be that guy. I am going to be that guy. There's only a limited number, and I guarantee if you don't want it, someone else will get it.
And what I was going to bring up was there's probably – this is not something like people – what I've seen some people say like, oh, Fun Pub is jacking up the price because they know it's welcome. Say no. This is probably what they have to do as part of the contract to get him, because he is not working. He is taking this time off from his work. He is not making money. So he has to do something that's equally valuable with his time for his living.
Right.
So this is not somebody jacking prices up just because it's Welker. This is not them trying to screw anybody over. This is the nature of the business. You want the big name stars. This is what it takes to get them.
Right. And unfortunately, the other thing that comes with it is time is money. And I do know for a fact that when you go to these, the first one's going to be an autograph line. And you'll go to that on Friday, I do believe. So there's going to be X number of people, and they're going to have a limited time, which means you go up there, you get your item, you get it autographed, and you go. It doesn't mean you talk about for 20 minutes how you loved him and his, you know, rendition of whatever character he portrayed or whatever. It's not going to happen. His time is money. Getting him on this show was a big task. And in order to do that, in order to get the number of people in the line, you're going to get rushed. So I hope everyone knows that in advance. It's not going to be like the other ones where you could sit and talk for a few minutes and this, that, and the other. You're going to have staff telling you, they're going to be pushing you. Get out of the way. The next one's coming. The next one's coming. It's not impersonal. It's business. It's just what it is. I mean, Frank Welker demands this. This is what it takes. This is what his time costs. So this is the breaking out. And you're right. I guarantee it's not that they're making money. It's that that's what it costs to get him to do this. So, but while I'm looking forward to it, I also know that I'm going to get my 30 seconds of fame with it. You know, run up there, get it autographed, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to sit there and talk to him about what I liked about season 1 and 2 and 3. It ain't going to happen. So,
episode 14.
Yeah, exactly.
One scene. How are you feeling?
Well, and I do know one thing. I do know that they're going to change up, especially during the Q&A with him. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that all the questions are going to be checked in advance. And a lot of people are going to be like, well, that's not right. They shouldn't censor our questions. It's not that. It's so he doesn't get the guy that goes up there and says, well, how do I get into voice acting that they've asked 20 or 30 people? You don't need to be asking him that. No one in the audience wants to know that. You know,
I've been to BotCon once. They definitely do need to censor you guys' questions.
See what I mean?
Yeah. So, here's what I loved about TFCon last year, and Magnus, I mentioned this to you at the show.
Yeah.
About the moderator that they had for the panel with James Roberts and the other panels, that lady was as sharp as a whip. And she kept everything going. She kept the redundancy out of the Q&A session.
Now, let me ask you this: as someone sitting there listening to all that, did it not flow better?
Yes.
Was it less
repetitive?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And that's what they're going to do. You know, they only have a certain amount of time with him, so they have to make the most of it. And it's not censorship. It's getting the most out of the time that's allotted.
Because it's not like he could be like Peter Cullen that one year that Peter was there. I'm on first name basis, of course. And he actually stayed over an hour or an hour and a half, maybe almost 2 hours, signing autographs because he didn't want anybody to not get an autograph. And the man was physically, from what I heard, he was physically just trashed by the time the autograph line was over because he had just put so much energy and stayed so late.
Not that we were going to make this episode about this, but I do feel this is worthy of mentioning. A lot of people, if you remember the first time Peter Cullen went to BotCon, it was huge.
Oh,
huge. And no one thought, they kind of thought the same way. So maybe after Frank Welkin, maybe after he gets into the circuit, maybe he will relax and do the things that Peter Cullen does, but maybe he won't. So you don't know. So we can't really, because I know some people were like, they said the same thing about Peter Cullen, and man, he's every year, and I can get his autograph anytime. I don't know. Frank is constantly working. I don't see him doing this every year. I really don't.
Take it from someone who's been to a couple of BotCons. I will tell you, they have been trying a couple of 19. they have been trying since John Carl's days to get Frank Welker. The man is literally... His assistant actually came one year just to see what the show was like because he wanted to know, I believe. And they told John and Carl, it may have been Glenn, I'm not sure which at that what point it was.
Right.
But he is so busy, he does not know where he'll be 2 weeks in advance and what he's doing without her planning out everything of what he's doing where. That's right. How busy he is.
Right. And unfortunately, when you're trying to schedule someone like that, you have, Fun Pub here, you have Frank's agent here, and then you have all of us over here. So there's communication here, and when Fun Pub relays it to us, we think, it's just them being lazy. It's just them being greedy. It's just them being blah, blah, blah. It's not. Sometimes you got to bend over backwards to get that person. And I really don't think people understand that's what they had to do. They really did. Like I said, I've been doing this. I haven't been doing this as long as you, Don. But I've also been doing a couple of Joe Cons, and I see the difference. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And there's those that all I got to do is pick up the phone and call. I'm not going to say who, but I'm going to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, man, I need you to come to BotCon, and here's your rate, boom. And they'll be there all day long, man, signing autographs. And then there's those others that you really got to say, I'm going to do this for you. Here's your schedule. It's not going to be a minute over. Once you hit that schedule, he gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's just if this could be literally the only chance or a very long time until Mr. Welker comes back to BotCon, yes, just because of how prolific his work is.
Right.
So we're not saying yay or nay. We're just giving you the facts to let you make your decision.
But just I'm going to go one step more than that. I'm going to say also, and this is everyone, if he gets one bad experience, I guarantee it'll wipe out 20 or 30 good ones.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Everybody.
This is one guy getting over there and acting stupid.
Yeah. Everybody needs to be on their, and again, I'm not passing judgment, but right. I have been to enough BotCons. I have seen a lot of guests enjoy themselves up until that one person does that one thing that's incredibly stupid.
That would be the guy you want to slap the crap out of.
Don't be that person.
Exactly. Remember our episode about bathing and everything, and don't be that person?
Yeah.
Don't be the person that ruins Frank for us.
Don't all be right, a Richard.
Don't be that person.
Don't be a Richard.
Don't be a Richard.
Don't be a Richard. Right. That's correct.
Now, I'm on the topic of Frank Walker, since we mentioned a little bit about the price, if someone were want to attend the convention, BotCon, and to get the package with Frank Welker and all that, what would be the total overall cost of all the Primus package, everything that would need to be purchased together? Well, what's the total damage there so that people could start budgeting?
Okay, well the Primus package has not been revealed yet as far as the cost. Judging, now again, there's some folks out there like GB Blackrock from the boards and everything, that's been keeping track of all the packages, and you can find this stuff on the internet. There's several websites that have kept track of the figure count versus package cost through the years. I know GB Blackrock from the Collectors Club boards. This was his thing, and he had it down to a science. GB, if you're listening, man, hope to talk to you again soon. Based on what we're seeing so far with the BotCon reveals, we've seen a Voyager class in both Breakdown mold and the Battletrap mold from Springer. We've seen the Deluxe class with Pack Rat. We've seen a mini-con that Pete revealed here, a Target Master Companion. We've seen that.
Vice Grip.
Yes, but yeah. And we've seen the Deluxe version of Shattered Glass Ricochet. Or Stepper. Shattered Glass Stepper, I should say. So, with two Voyagers in a set, I'm guessing $350 to $400 for the Primus package. But again, that's me, top of my head. Best. It all depends on who that
figure is. Here's what I'm going to say. Take whatever last year's was and add 10%.
Yeah, that's also a good rule of thumb, too.
And the reason I say that is do I really know it's going to be 10%? No. But if it's not, you got extra money.
Exactly.
I can tell you that in the past, they've always gone up. And, I mean, let's face it, inflation, blah, 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 whatever. Good rule of thumb is 10%. Now, I'm also doing something else with JoeCon. And I can tell you that I'm checking to make sure, but I don't think JoeCon went up at all. But that's separate. Good rule of thumb, 10%.
And I'll be looking for a pack rat.
Yes.
All right. So, I guess it's time to
move on. All right.
I thought you were frozen there.
No, I got a text message, and I was reading at it, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, we got to go. All right. So, the big topic for tonight, and we were already, what, almost an hour in. All right, so we will, and I told everyone this. I mean, there's only four of us here. We're going to give our little inside stories. But what I really want is for people to get on the damn Facebook or whatever and let us know what they think. Because this is hitting home. When is enough enough? When have you had so much that you got it up to your eyeballs, you can't move, or I can't make the mortgage payment because I'm buying every damn thing that comes out? Whatever your reason is, hoarding. And yes, collecting can become hoarding. And I'm not going to be the, what was the name of that show? I'm not going to be the collector intervention woman, all right? I don't think I got the goods to fill her shoes, but that's beside the point. That's not really what I'm going here. What I'm saying is that every collector is going to come across either whatever you want to call it, calling of the collection, purge, I'm getting out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And
your significant other asks you to get rid of some of it.
So my life changes have dictated that I call the collection, whatever. Sideburn 2, we're going to start with you. Just out of the blue, what do you think about hoarding cutting the collection, whatever. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a slippery slope because, to me, a collector, for all intents and purposes, is just an organized hoarder. And
organized chaos. Yeah, that's what it's called. When you go into my room, it's organized chaos.
Yeah. It's something I've questioned because, you know, after a while, the collection started to build up. I don't have anything near what most of the guys on this podcast have. But I still... You know,
a lot of it's genetics.
But I still reached a point where, like, in the space that I have right now, I was running out of space. Well, at one point I was. And I started wondering, you know, what am I doing? Am I just – I'm buying stuff just to buy it because it transforms. And so I did have to – I did go through a culling once. And I would say that when you cross the – I think when you cross the line into hoarder is when – it starts to affect your everyday life, and I don't think I've ever reached that point. Like I've never had to kick some toys aside to be able to, you know, to get to my computer or something like that, you know. I have had to go through a culling, and it was hard. It was because, you know, you collect all this stuff and you do have some sentimental value. Most of the stuff I sold off, I got for Christmases and birthdays because it was like all my Armada and Energon stuff. And so this is stuff that was presents mostly, but I had to get rid of it. And it sat on my floor for about 5 months before I finally said, or I finally went to Craigslist and I said, I have all this, you know, $500. And someone contacted me within an hour of posting it up, and I had sold it within 2 hours, and it was all gone. And as soon as it was gone, I came back, and it wasn't on my floor anymore. It wasn't sitting there in cardboard boxes, and I was like, ah, better. And I didn't miss it. I haven't missed a single thing. But it's, yeah, it was definitely hard to get to that point.
Yeah, but you got to some point to where you felt like you needed to do that.
Yes.
It wasn't just one day you looked and, oh my God, it was a buildup.
Definitely. Yeah. It was starting like I can't get anything new that I like because I have all this old stuff that I don't even bother taking down to dust anymore. I was getting to that point, you know? It's like those things are gray, and that guy is supposed to be bright yellow. And so, yeah, it was – I would just lay – I would – because my bed was in my collection room at the time, so it was my bedroom. And so I would just lay there looking at this stuff and like, I got to do something about this because I can't enjoy it anymore with the space I'm having to take up.
Now, I mean, that's another thing. We talked about all the different reasons. Well, we haven't yet, but we, you know, between us, we have. But there's a lot of different reasons why you would trim or get rid of your collection. You know, be it family emergencies, a change, you know, and we all know what that means, you know, a change in the, what you would, declare in your, 1040 easy forms or whatever to the IRS type thing. You know what I mean? One of those things or, space or money. And, like for myself, mine was space. It had taken up such a vast amount of space that I started cutting back on stuff because I knew there was stuff coming out I wanted. So I looked at certain things and said, well, I can do without that. I can do without that. And what I did was I went by titles, for lack of a better term. Like I had everything Machine Wars. So I cut that. I had everything Beast Machines. Sorry, Mike, but I cut that. And then with like Beast Wars, with Beast Wars, it was a little different. I was going to cut everything, but then I went, well, I'll keep the show characters and I'll cut everything else.
Acceptable.
Yeah. And then I still need more room. So I'm like, I'll get rid of my G2. So I cut my G2. Sorry, Jason. I know you're out there listening, but I cut that. And that's how my collection went. Then, believe it or not, at one point I had everything G1 boxed and loose. So then I went, I'll get rid of the loose and I'll keep the boxed. So I started doing that. So my calling, and Don and I talked about this, was three times I did this. That I condensed. And with a lot of the stuff that I want that's coming out, I might be looking at number four. But the point being is, I think those that hoard have that little voice in the back of their head that tells you, whoa, but they don't listen. That would be a hoarder, in my opinion. Now, you can go to a psychologist, and they'll tell you that it's a condition, and they'll write you a prescription for it or whatever, and all that jazz. But I think that what it comes down to is that if you don't listen to that voice in the back of your head that says that it's too much, that you just need to, when it comes time to cut the collection, you cut the collection. And Brycey, how are you doing after a long hibernation? That can't figure out his audio. That still can't figure out his audio.
Someone start their ventriloquy. Blah, blah,
blah. I'll do what I always do. You ready? Megamus is the best. I love him so much. See? I knew that. I knew that already.
Someone get a shovel.
I know. Come on, talk.
I thought I heard him when he came in. But...
Well, I don't hear him. Do you
hear him? Yeah, we got nothing.
No.
Well, you figure that out, because I really want your input on this. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Headmaster Don. As far as hoarding, and I'm sorry, I'm going to lean that way with you, but or culling, what's your take on this?
See, this, I've actually been dreading this episode to a degree.
Well, I understand, but you remember, you're among friends. It's okay. You start off by saying, I'm a Transformer addict, and my name is Don.
Hello, my name is Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of me.
See? This is easy shit. We got this.
But I, being the oldest person here, I'll be 45.
You bet your ass you are.
Yeah. I'll be 45 in June. I literally started collecting on my 14th birthday, 1984, when Transformers came out. Sludge was my first Transformer, and I've been collecting literally ever since. I have a problem. This is my apartment. You probably can't tell, but there's toys on the shelves. There's toys on the couch. There's toys behind me. Big guy and Rusty, Kronos and, Baymax. And then I've got a shelf over here that's full of stuff that I'm trying to sort out. And I've got my desk that I'm trying to sort out. So, and this is just my living room and my kitchen. I have a separate collector's room that is full. My two closets are full. I have two storage buildings that are full. Granted, one of them is the stuff from my mother's house, my mother and father's house that after they passed away that I was keeping, but I have nowhere for it because of this. And I'll be honest, over on Radio Free Cybertron, we lost J.D. Church last year, and his wife Amanda sent me a lot of his things to sell, which I'm in the process of still doing. But that was a big realization for me is I don't have a wife, I don't have a girlfriend, and most of my immediate family is gone. I have an aunt and a couple cousins, but they have kids and lives of their own. I have no one to give this stuff to. I have no one to inherit it. And anyone I know young enough to get it as a gift will be old and not be probably into it. So I am trying to make myself sell the stuff. It's just, I remember how much fun I had hunting it. I remember looking for, you know, this figure or that figure. And I'm not talking about Transformers. I have a complete collection of Visionaries. I have a near complete collection of most all the GoBots that I've ever wanted. I have Marvel figures. I have DC figures. I have almost all the Gundam, G Gundam Mobile Suit and Action figures. You know, so I just have too much and I know it. But it's hard for me, unless it's a pretender or an action master, to not sell, because those have very little meaning for me overall, unless it's Metal Hulk or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to sell, but yet here I am with pre-orders for the next three Throttlebots. I have Sever, which is coming out from Fans Toys. I have Masterpiece Tracks, as we mentioned Road Rage earlier. You know, I have 8031 Optimus Prime from Japan coming, you know, that nice retool and recolor of Movie Prime coming. I bought Warbitron last year at TFCon, the pieces that were out by then. So, because the stuff that we're getting now is so much better versions of what I had originally. Look at Masterpiece Prowl versus G1 Prowl. I still have a love for G1 Prowl because of what that represents to my youth. But Masterpiece Prowl is, in every other way, a better figure. But I can't bring myself to sell Masterpiece Prowl because I remember finding him for $2 at a flea market and then several years later paying a quarter for the gun. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, I paid $1 and got the missiles. I mean, I had $5 in a G1 Prowl. I mean, and that was part of the hunt. So I want to sell this stuff and get to where I can have my entire collector's world in one room. But I have so much.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. Don't, if you're a collector, I'm going to use myself as a bad example. Don't become like me, because I love every piece that I've got, again, except for maybe like Generations Cheetor, because he's going on the pile to sell. But, you know, I've got, it's just, you reach this point where I can't play with my cat. Because I have so much stuff on the floor that I'm trying to piece together to sell. I can't take a laser pointer and just give him free run of living room to chase the laser pointer because there's boxes and stuff sitting everywhere. So, I mean, know when to say when is pretty good for this hobby. I just haven't said when yet, and it's starting to really affect my life by having this much stuff.
And if you're getting to, I mean, going back to, I mean, I never reached that point, but I know I was reaching the point to where my space was so confined that I really couldn't add to it. And I sort of felt the same feelings that you feel, and that you look at the stuff and it's like, oh, I remember that Christmas. I opened all that stuff and that was so fun. I had so much fun with my brother. And yeah, that was what made it hard to sell it. But, you know, once you get rid of that stuff, the buying new stuff becomes fun again. It doesn't feel like you don't feel guilty when you're buying it because you're just going to cram it somewhere. It's
That's it exactly, because I can't enjoy anything new because I've got all this, everything. It's just, you know, it's just, it's going to take me, because like I said, I have no one to leave this to. I have no one to help and share the enjoyment with me. So it's basically going to be, do I want to be a burden when I finally kick the bucket and have all this crap left? No, I don't. But I've got to make myself get rid of it. Which is hard when crap like Masterpiece Star Saber comes out and it's glorious.
Yes.
So, I hate just like I'm being down. And I don't want to be that way, but I know I have to sell this stuff. Because I'm like I said, I'm 45, okay? I'm not going to be around forever.
Wait a minute. I make this joke about you being so much older. But you're only a year older than me, all right? God dang it. It's not that old, all right? Stop it.
I thought you were in your early 30s.
I am.
Face your mortality.
All right? But shut the hell up. All right? Stop. I understand because I've said the same thing. I've told my wife, and she loves, believe it or not, my wife loves the fact that I collect. She loves this stuff. And I keep telling her, I'm like, you know, when it comes time, I don't want to leave you with all this. We don't know this. And she's just like, I don't care. But I do agree with what you're saying, but quit saying 45, damn it. Stop it. All right? What it comes down to is that, yes, you do amass a lot of, not massy, but amass a lot of stuff. And you have to do something with it.
Yeah.
And I actually went one step further because I'm thinking about my kids, not my wife, but my kids, and that this is something they're going to have to deal with too.
This work.
Now, here's something that I've done. It's a little tip from, you know, old Uncle Megamus here. When I get an item, I write what I paid for it and the date, and I slip it in the box that it came in. Then, and I also write what it is. You know, and I know a lot of you are going to be like, well, I know what this is, but some of the Japanese items or whatever, you may not be able to figure out if you didn't know Transformers what it is. But it gives you an idea if you are trying to figure out what someone's collection, other than your own, is worth, or, i.e., you're trying to get rid of it, what they have in it. So when I buy something, I get a little, let me get one out here. These things are wonderful. They're cheap. Little index cards. You're right. What it is, the date you purchased it, how much you paid for it. Slip it in the box. Then you can take your toy, whatever it is, display it or whatever. But the actual box is sitting somewhere else with this little thing in it. Then when you kick the bucket and someone else has your collection to take care of, they got all these little things, these little index cards to figure out what you paid for it, what it is, they can research it and figure out how much it's worth and get rid of it. Because let's face it, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All of us are going to die eventually.
Well,
if you get rid of your collection beforehand, you're leaving it to someone else to do.
Well, I'm going to bring up what my father passed away from cancer. And I'm only bringing this up because this is the kind of attitude that I kind of wish I have at the point. He told Mom to just do whatever she wanted to do with the house. And Dad said, I'm going to be dead. I don't care. You know, that was my father. You know, he's like very to the point. So, would you make up your mind where you're going? Where are you going?
Whatever bugs you the most.
Yeah. So, that'd be right here on the keyboard. So, you know, that's kind of like whatever happens to my collection, whenever I pass away, whoever is dealing with it, they can do whatever they want. I'm not going to care. I don't want them to have this to deal with. I want them to have this. And I have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And however you do it, index cards, get rid of it, whatever, that's fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bryce, you fixed your laryngitis, I understand.
The headset mic was overriding the internal one, so it decided that it didn't want to work.
Like, I really care. I don't care. So,
we know you don't care.
I don't. You're talking about technical crap that I don't care about. So, you've come out of your hiatus, and we're talking about hoarding versus culling versus getting out, whatever. What are your thoughts on it? Where are you at? What have you done recently?
I decided that I was done with classics and threw the entire collection up for sale.
Wow.
I got two full rooms of shit, and quite frankly, I don't look at the classics anymore. I'll pick them up, transform them once, put them on the shelf, and that's about it. New G1 piece or masterpiece, it'll be up, played with, put back down, pictures. So I think I was just done with classics. I kept all the gifts from people. A bunch my wife gave me and stuff, but other than that, they're gone.
Right. But that was something you felt one day you just looked and went, man, I don't mess with these. I need to go ahead and get rid of them.
They gotta go.
Yeah, and there you go. Does that make you a bad person? No. Does that make you not a G1 or, I'm sorry, Transformers collector? No.
No.
Does that make you a realist? Yes, it does. You know, and some people will look at that. I've actually seen it. You get on Facebook and someone will dump a whole bunch of stuff. What are you doing? Are you getting out? No, I'm just trimming the collection. Yep.
You're selling everything.
Yeah, and I've actually, I know of a couple people, big guys that have been in collecting for years, well before me, believe it or not, well before Don. Oh, my God. And
are people older than Don?
They get out of it. Get out of it. But they still write about it. They still talk about it. And in my opinion, just because you're not buying these little toys doesn't mean you're out of it. You still have a whole lot of information. Whole lot of knowledge and a whole lot of sharing.
You can still enjoy the property without buying
stuff. You don't have to buy the stuff to enjoy it. Exactly. And if I remember correctly, and I talked about this before, about what you leave for the fandom, for the collecting fandom, the Transformer fandom, whatever you want to call it. It's not that I have every single toy of whatever, you know, that's not it. It's that I've learned this and I passed it along. I learned that this does this or there's this variation or whatever, and I passed it along. To me, that's what the fandom's about. It's about the sharing of knowledge, the sharing of the love. It's not the possession. It's just not.
There's more than meets the shelf.
Exactly. So.
Hey. Leave the puns to the professional.
All right, then. Go ahead, professional. Let's hear another pun.
Okay. Do you know what the worst thing about
importing Combiner War figures are? They cost you an arm and a leg.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this then.
Is this you're a pro?
Do what?
That was bad.
But if you are looking for your favorite figures, there are a few places you can go. If you're looking for some of the new things, you can go to CapturePrey.com. They have a wide variety of things to help you get your fix of the plastic wonder stuff that we call collect. I like plastic wonder stuff instead.
You know, I've always really liked when people call it plastic crack. I really do. I think that's just because that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's whether you sit there and take your Lysol thing and smell it, you know, inject, it doesn't matter. That's your plastic crack. You know?
Well, we joked about this on RSC. In 20 years, if the nerddom keeps growing as it is, you're not going to have drug dealers on the side of the road. Say, hey, come here. First edition Princess Leia, right here, man. First edition, not been opened. You like the robot things? G1 Optimus Prime. It's got that good plastic smell inside. Tape, steel, seal. That'll be your plastic crack dealers right there.
Yep.
But nothing wrong with that.
But like we said, if you're looking for the new figures, looking for something different, check out CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. And if you're looking for something from the past, a little something, a little retro, a little older, as maybe something.
You know, about to hit the ground, you know, worms.
Yeah. Or just something classic. You can also check out Megatoy Fan, which just happens to be the guy right there who's going to fall out of the chair if he keeps leaning back any further.
It works fine.
I would pay money for that.
If it does fall.
No, wait a minute. Hit the slogan. Come on.
Maximize your collection with Megatoy Fan.
I love it. I love it. Lamont, I love it. I love that.
So if from Big From figures to parts, Megatoy Fan's got it. If you got it, he'll still say he's got it.
It doesn't matter. I'll get it. But, you know, I have this golden opportunity right now. Everyone has talked about the main topic that I can think of. Did everyone? Everyone?
Not
everyone
Jim.
Got it.
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope.
Well, he doesn't count. So shut up. Doesn't matter. I had this golden opportunity with Price that has been gone for so long. And I just have one thing to ask you. One thing. Man, what? How you been? How you been?
What?
How you been?
I've been all right.
That's good. What do you think about all this new crap coming out?
I'm selling
all
this
Combiner War stuff. What?
Selling my classics for a reason.
No, that's not what I asked you. What do you think about this Combiner War stuff?
Not everybody's supposed to be a Combiner.
Now, I'm going to say this, all right? Because I'm in the minority here. You need to come on more often because I'm getting outgunned here because I don't like it at all. I don't like any of it. I don't think it looks right. G1 is G1, and that's how I'm going to be. But I have a backer, doesn't show up. I don't care. I don't like it.
They are not G1.
They are
the closest classics has ever been to G1.
No, you just need to come to make a toy fan.
Galvatron was never part of Psychic Bonus.
I don't care about Galvatron or Optimus. I'm talking about the Aerobots.
Pick and choose. That's all you're doing.
Those two were just to fill out the line.
Real quick, now that Jim took a drink. Go, Jim. Say it. Let's hear it.
It what?
I don't know. You were getting a drink.
Your hoarder thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we were talking about
you are work. In the limelight. You have something you're to say right now, and we want to hear it. We want to hear it right now. We want you to talk. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. We want to know right now what you have to say. Right now. You got it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm good. No, hoarding and all that. And
there you heard it. You heard it from Jim Black himself. That's what right? He thinks about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, hoarding and selling off collections, that's something I've actually done a few times over the years, most notably in probably the past 12. Mine has been mainly due to financial circumstances off and on, different things keep happening, car repairs, mortgage, whatever. But those have been several instances where I've had to sell. And it's always been in bulk. My most recent one was in 2012. I sold to, I think it was Transformerland.com, like four large shipping boxes of items. I had G1. I had classics, movie figures, the 2011 Thundercats, Power Rangers. I mean, all kinds of odds and ends. But something that I think contributes to a lot of the hoarding and space issues as well is a lot of folks keep packaging. They've already opened the figure, taken it out, put it on the shelf, whatever. But they'll keep the boxes and the cards and bubbles and everything. And it was to the point where there were actually figures that I no longer owned. I sold off the figures, and I still had the packaging for them because I could not bring myself to throw them away. And the people that bought the figures did not want them. And it was official Transformer product. It had the Transformer logo on it.
You send that crap out and let them throw it away.
Right, right. Now, I eventually started doing that. But, you know, ultimately, I cannot bring myself to throw away into the trash anything Transformers. That's just something I've always had an issue with. I've got Energon wrapping paper.
Yeah. I don't think I'm quite that bad, but
see that closet over there. You see those boxes up there and all those boxes and those drawers.
You don't understand. Not only do I have everything loose here, the boxes downstairs, but there's a couple items where people have said I want it without the box. Mm-hmm. And I still kept the box. So I still have it. I mean, I can't. I'm like, I can't throw it away. Yeah. Why would you throw it away? I mean, because it's taking up room in your house. I still can't throw it away. So
when it comes to packaging for me, I keep it if it can go back into it.
Yeah.
If it's a blister pack, I will. If I'm taking it off, I'll keep the backer, but I'll throw the blister away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've taken the keeping packaging I really like. Like, I'm not going to dismantle my Beast Wars boxes. But, like, other stuff, like, I have a bunch of boxes I need to actually, you know, tear down. But I started taking to just, like, if it has a bio on the back or if it has some specs on the back. I just keep the clipping in the back or something like that, you know, just the back panel and get rid of the rest. And I like the card backs, but I get rid of the bubble and I because, yeah, that stuff piles up fast. And I need to do a culling of that because it's starting to get ridiculous again.
There's lots of things that you know, not like that, that can get out of hand. Just for instance, I don't know how well you can see it over here on the shelf. In my hand here. That shelf, right? Okay, that's Combiner Wars. That's Superion, Optimus, and Dragstrip. That's all that is, and that's two shelves worth of boxes there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it doesn't really take much a lot of the time. Another factor, too, for a lot of people is sentimentality. Like, thinking back to some of my earliest figures, when I was 5 years old, my entire house decided to go to the basement in the form of ash and ruin. So part of the recovery you know, we had, you know, friends and family that helped take us in and take care of us until we got back on our feet. But I was given a lot of, you know, a lot of toys and a lot of Transformers, some of which were from my great-grandmother. And she got me like Scoop and Horrid Bull with Kreb, you know, Top Spin, because Twin Twist sucks. You know, a few of those other figures that were so sentimental to me because of that attachment and that association with those loved ones. And, you know, that's something that can help kind of draw you in too. Cause like, well, I have this figure, from this person that was, you know, Christmas, birthday, whatever. And it was part of, you know, there were two other headmasters in the Autobots, or, you know, this assortment. So then you get that whole assortment, And then I've got the Autobot Target Master, so why don't I get the Decepticon ones to go along with it? And, you know, that's another thing that can kind of draw you in, too. There's little things like that you know, a lot of people, they don't really think about it. They kind of, I mean, I guess they probably do. They just don't really realize it until it's, you know, already, you know, a mountain of stuff. You know, or, you know, both sides of the closet are full of boxes and, you know, things like that. But, yeah, it can get out of hand, and it doesn't take long at all. I've had issues where, you know, I'll open a closet door and I'll get hit in the head with a box. I've had to scoot things out of the way or make a path to get through a room. You know, it sucks. I mean, that's one of the darker sides of our hobby that not a lot of people talk about is, you know, yes, it's fun to collect and enjoy the heritage characters, the memories from, you know, playing with the toys as a child, the coloring books, you know, on and on. But then ultimately you have to one day realize and ask yourself, how much is enough? How much is too much? And do I have so much that I can no longer enjoy what I have? How much of it do I have in a closet, in a tote? How much of it do I have in the attic, in a storage shed, in the basement? You know, have I dug this figure out in the last 7 years out of its tote? You know, or what have you? You know, why do I have this?
Yeah. Well, and this it's sort of a good book into the how to start episode we had not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And that I said it then is... And it's a way to sort of help, you know, avoid the hoarding is choose something tangible and stick to it when you're starting, when you go to start collecting. I think because the big mistake is a lot of people, when we start collecting, we buy everything, and that everything mentality turns later into the hoarding mentality, and we either hit the point where it's like you hit the point where you're like, I already have everything, I have to keep getting everything, or I have way too much and I'm getting rid of this. And that's the crossroads you're going to come to if you start off as a everything that transforms is mine. Yeah, so it's something that you gotta, if it's, I'm only gonna collect G1, or I'm only gonna collect Beast Wars, or it could be I'm only gonna collect Optimus Prime, or I'm only gonna collect things that turn into construction vehicles, and I mean, like, mm-hmm. I've pretty much taken to more or less limiting myself to anything that turns into an animal. And I don't entirely hold to that because I've been collecting Generations. But if I'm not buying Generations because it's currently on the shelves and I can find it readily, mm-hmm. I'm buying something that turns into an animal. Most Beast Wars, I want to get the stuff from Cybertron that turned into an animal and stuff like that. Just because that's the niche that I like, mm-hmm. and that's something that, I mean, that's still a lot of product, mm-hmm. but it's a lot less than everything.
Yeah, that's a similar approach to a good friend of mine who goes by the name Deadeye. He's a new dad, by the way. Has a few figures, a few key iconic figures that are his definitive figures, and those are the only Transformers he will collect. That's Jazz, Mirage, Jetfire, and I want to say Sentinel Prime, if I'm not mistaken. Everything else he does not have.
So he is He is an anti-Decepticon. I understand. I guess that's okay. That's okay.
I don't know if it's so much that as much as those were some of his favorites as a kid, and so he stuck with those that handful, regardless of their faction.
There's no way as a kid I could not dug Megatron or Soundwave.
Well, his older brother is a Starscream and Soundwave nut anyway, so I guess it kind of balances out.
Chris Latta, I mean, there's no way. I mean, Soundwave was, Soundwave, Shockwave, Megatron, Starscream, all of them didn't matter. I mean, they were too good. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, Megamus, we got a video response from on the topic tonight on YouTube.
I just listened to it.
I'm not even done with it yet.
Yeah, I did listen to it.
Brian
Johnson.
Johnson. And also one thing I was going to bring
up. You're a legend. so good.
But now Jim is actually in the potential of being the most dangerous person in the world. And the reason I'm saying that is because you have Energon wrapping paper. What if you wrapped a boxed Energon Ironhide in Energon wrapping paper? You would have the most horribly terrible thing in existence to threaten.
I was going
to
say, it's still a piece of crap.
I'm saying the amount of just suck in one package.
Okay, just to clarify, this is a boxed Energon Ironhide or a boxed Ironhide from Energon?
A boxed Ironhide from Energon.
Okay, because if it was the other, it would be an Energon Ironhide. just checking.
Yeah. So, but just imagine that much suck in one toy in the round. Right.
I think it is. I
never hated that character, that figure, as much as people wanted me to. I hate the character, though. The character is terrible.
In any case, let me make sure I get this right. Tran, Miguel, Formota? Anyway, he asked on Facebook. Mm-hmm. He was always wondering what is a good balance between hoarding and when is enough. So I responded. And I thought, even though it was me, it was a good response.
In spite of that.
If your life suffers, it's too much. If it's a hobby, it's a hobby. Not a supplement to life. Not the reason for living. Basically, what I'm saying is, if your whole life is around that, find something else. If it's a supplement to what makes you happy, you have a bad day at work, you come home, you relax, transforming toys, and that's what they are, they're toys. You transform and it relaxes you, that's what it's for. If you get online to relax and you want to buy that one last piece you need for your collection, that's good. If it means that you don't get electricity or water for the month, probably not a good trade-off. That's what I'm trying to say. If you walk into your house and you can't move because there's so much crap, that you might be a hoarder.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They have all those shows, and they're fun to watch. I mean, I hate to say it, but they are just... No one here can say they're not fun to watch. You're talking about someone with a problem, they're hoarding, and it's bad, but it is fun to watch.
Eat all those bananas.
You should be on that show. You're a hoarder. That's all that can be said to it. You are. Definitely. So, there you go. I hate to be that. No, I don't. I like being that person. That's how it is. I'm going to tell you how it is. If you should be on that show, you're a hoarder. I can't see anyone here disagreeing with me. Anyway.
I disagree.
Your Beast Wars.
Considering it looks like a Toys R Us exploded in my apartment, I got no room to say you're wrong.
I was gonna say KB's.
I paid a lot more than KB retail for this.
So long as
KB Toys was
I worked for them. Because I worked for them, I know what the retail was.
All right,
I'm just going by the amount of stock on the shelves.
Oh. All right, so we had the main topic. I do want to ask, just as a little added bonus, but did anyone get anything this week that they want to show off? Any Ouch My Wallet?
I don't know about Ouch My Wallet, but I got that leg. Wait, no. Hang on. No. That leg.
That was Air bad. Raid. Don't say it like that. What did you get? Don't say that.
Air Raid. Yeah. Minor Wars Air Raid from
CBS. We got to remember our audio
list. Wave 2.
Yes. That's right.
That is the black aerial box jet with some of the reused parts from Skydive. So Superior is complete.
Mike, did you get anything?
I got Legends Rhinox.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And a wonderful recolor. Adds so much.
And for those of you who don't know, what we're getting in Generations now is called Legends in Japan, not the size class.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
So yeah, just
basically, what it means is a better paint scheme and it's better overall. Yeah.
He does look really, really nice. I kind of wish that the brown was a little less shiny, just a little. That's my only gripe. I love the chain guns; they're so beautiful.
Exactly. The other.
They are quite
accents.
Fun.
I'll go with accents.
Yeah,
they're much better.
I still really like this. As it comes down to it, having both of these on my shelf, I love both of them. Because
I can tell you that my US is in beast mode, and my Legends is in robot mode. That should say it all.
So this is my Hasbro, you know. Because this one has pretty much the same colors as the original toy. Mm-hmm. And this one is right out of the show. And both of them together,
I
love them.
Was Rhinox that self-tanned in the show?
He was more matte, and that's why I'm saying I kind of wish he wasn't as shiny. Because that would be the ultimate Rhinox to me, is if he was just a little less shiny.
Like I said in the pre-show, the Japanese version of Rhinox, Waspinator, and Rattrap, they do look better.
I just ordered Rattrap while we were talking on the show, so I'll have a Rattrap soon enough.
And just for the video viewers, just to show you the difference. This is the Hasbro RC, as we all know and love her.
Back up. There you go.
So, you know, this is the Hasbro RC. This is the Legends version from Japan.
Oh, that's nice.
Put them next to each other so we can see exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot more black on the Hasbro version. The Takara one is really straight, just G1. RC.
Yeah.
I have to say, my preference is actually the Hasbro's. I sort of like the black breaking up the monotony of the pink and the white. But that's just a preference of someone who doesn't really give a crap because I'm not a G1er.
Of course, knowing me.
So in other words, we don't care.
Exactly.
There you go.
If you don't care, that's fine with me.
There you go.
Because I only care a lot about this.
There you go. And what did I tell you? It's a good one to pick up.
I also got this. My G1, minty G1 Polar Claw. I bought it mint in package, and it was nice, and it was fresh.
He's stroking the Polar Claw.
It's nice, and it's fresh, and it's not yellow. It's pearlescent white, and I ripped the sucker open, and I let it breathe. I transformed it. I love it.
And the bat went flying off somewhere across the room.
Actually, I haven't had too many problems with the bat. It's the other thing, but I found a way to pop that spring on his other leg, moves it to the side really easy, and then you can collapse it, and it's in there, and it's fine.
Yeah, Paul Claw's one of the early good ones. Just
well, from... and you know, I read the Gathering when IDW did the Beast Wars comic, and he was one of the ones that when I saw him in the Gathering, I was like, oh, I have to have him now because he's so cool. Which is why I have his mutant head displayed, because in the Gathering he uses the mutant head.
Which is strange because last week I saw JD's Beast Wars mutant Icebird. Which was a polar claw and which was a polar bear and an owl. So that's just sort of a
Oh, I need that thing too. I don't have the mutants.
They're good toys. They're a lot better than people give them credit for.
I will only buy a Soundwave Minton package. GPS riddled.
The only thing I've got is. I have AD-31 Prime, which is the movie, which is the Age of Extinction Prime from Japan that has the really nice paint job, the switchable heads, and the new weapons. I have that in route. That should be here soon. So I've got that coming in.
Jim?
Yes.
He's already gone.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Remember Air Raid?
I forgot what he had, so I mean.
Air Raid.
Oh, yeah, then the.
What'd you get?
Brycey?
He's holding on.
Oh, yeah!
Nice.
Is that a Japanese Megatron?
Yes. And you know what? That's going to be anything that I have to say. But I'll go anyway. All right. I went the opposite route. I went with Chinese knockoffs.
Yay!
How about that? Oh, there you go.
Ooh, a 2-up wind charger.
It is a wind charger. It is a little bigger.
That's horribly wonderful and wonderfully horrible.
Oh, that's there's just too much chrome. Look at that.
You never have enough chrome.
Chrome!
Say that to the U.S. Jetfire.
Too much
chrome.
Gears. How about gears with some chrome?
It's a little more like swerve than gears. I mean, same mold, I know, but...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You know what? You're right. Look at the head. Swerve. Is that swerve?
Look at swerve. Yep.
But it says super!
Super swerve.
All right.
So it's super sand swerve.
And then we have pipes in awesome purple.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like that.
Okay.
Grape flavored pipes.
Grape pipes. So, you know, I mean, not big, because considering I got all five of them, I'm sorry, all three of them, for $5, not bad.
I see him burst through the wall going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Oh.
So
I got one more thing.
Go ahead, because I am done. I did not
I got those.
Those?
You got a doorknob.
I know, I got the
other. Those are good.
I got the glass. I got the Detolfs.
Okay,
yeah. Now... upgrading my collection cases.
Okay, now, I got you.
Those are the ones from IKEA, correct?
Yes.
How do you get them? I mean, I'm guessing you can order them on through the mail, but what is shipping on like something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I drove to an IKEA.
That's what I did.
Yeah, Orlando, you're not far from anything in Orlando.
Well, being in the middle of nowhere.
I would imagine it's going to cost.
A lot because
they're like,
because it seems like everyone here
90 pounds or something like that.
It seems like everyone loves these things, but when you live in the middle of nowhere, when the deer outnumber the people 2-1, you have to pretty much just import it.
Yes.
They're nice. You lose a bit of space with them as compared to the stuff behind me. It's, yeah. This is just raw space that you get a lot of. You get a lot out of these bookcases, but you also get a lot of dust and everything else into them. Yeah. So you lose a little bit of space with those, but you get the lighting in them like I have over there in my Godzilla collection, and it starts to look so nice.
Yeah. No, they come with the lights in them, the LEDs?
No, you got to buy them separate, but they're – so the case is – each case is $65, and then it's $20 for the lights.
Okay.
Neat. Still, the one Godzilla I want them to do in Monster Arts is the Hanna-Barbera Godzilla. That's the only one I want them to do. Nobody but me wants that.
I will buy anything that they do in Monster Arts. If they did the 98 Godzilla, I would buy it in Monster Arts.
Now, have you got King Ghidorah?
I got the Mecha King Ghidorah at MegaCon. Oh, yeah. Cool. I also got the first edition Godzilla. So at MegaCon, I spent about $500 between my Transformers and my Godzilla. Well,
what you need to do now is go get you a couple of Energon offshoots so you can have Japanese laser tanks.
There you go. And Signal Flare. Gotta do Signal Flare, too.
Signal Flare, yeah. I got a friend of mine that did that. He went and bought like a bunch of cheap ones offline, and those are his Japanese maker tanks for his Godzilla display.
Nice.
That works.
But yeah, so those are my really big ones for what I got this week, or since the last time I was on.
Oh, and luckily, Hobby League Japan had that sale for the mega size Zarak mega Zarak and Black Zarak. Luckily, they're sold out, so I was able to avoid that temptation because I really wanted the Black Zarak, but
nice.
I was able to hold off till they sold out.
Well, I think we have wrapped this one up. What do you guys think?
I think we've made me very depressed.
I don't think enough is enough. I think we can hoard on some more conversation.
Whore or hoard?
Depends. What's it pay?
On the corner, about $25.
Hey-o!
Now, is that the inflated price, or is that the original retail before the markup?
It's always
you inflated. Really haven't get you need to get out more. That's all I'm going to say.
That's before that's you need before to get out import.
Why get out when I can pay for shipping?
Well, inflation is part of the deal.
Well, yeah, but that's a different thing altogether. Oh, you meant monetary inflation.
Just remember, right. In any city, the closer you get to the river, the cheaper it is. All right? So you want to go for the discount, go towards the river. That's all I'm going to say.
By the van, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And on that note.
Exactly. So.
I guess, once again, thanks to CapturePrey.com and to Mega Toy Fan for sponsoring us this show. Thank you to everybody for watching and listening and leaving your video replies and watching us bare our souls to you.
That's right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do like we normally do, and we're going to... we're going to ask, Sideburn 2, do you have anything to add to the topic?
No,
young Padawan.
No.
All right. Jim Black, do you have anything to add to the topic?
Well, actually, on that subject, I would like to say no.
All righty. Headmaster Don, Do you have anything to add to the topic?
Don't be like me. Don't let the stuff control your life. Don't let it get everywhere under the sun. Know when to say when.
I've got you. And Brycey, who is out of retirement, do you have anything to add to the topic?
Apparently not audio.
Damn it!
Well, now for the audio listeners, Brycey is doing his responses with dance interpretation.
He is. He's dancing around like a little girl. Yes. He is giving the twirl like a little girl. I got you. All right. I understand the sign language. You are number one. You are good to go. All right. The only thing I wanted to add before we sign off is I wanted to give a nod to Brian Johnson, to all his efforts and his typing skills. And I just wanted to let him know, without a doubt, that there will never, ever be an all Bumblebee show. Never! As long as I am here, because you wrote that, it will never happen. And with that, we are out of here. Episode 150, Hoarding, TFYLP. We are out with that. Sideburn 2.
Yeah. See ya.
Alrighty, out. Jim Black.
Hasta luego, mi amigos.
And Master Don.
Ninja Vanish.
Brycey, if you can talk. Once again, he said, Megamus, you're number one. And with that, we're out of here.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.